Don't think I've had a professional sports person yet, so here we go. Welcome back to Coach Class with me, Dom Birch. This is the podcast where I get to speak to inspirational leaders and coaches from across the world. I'm absolutely delighted this week to welcome on the podcast Greg Baker ACC, who is head coach at British Para Table Tennis. He's a certified exec and business coach and a high performance mentor and trainer. Greg, I'm going to stop there because as I read your LinkedIn, there's so much that I could say that would run out of time. So anyway, welcome to Coach Class.
Thank you, Dom. Really good to be here. Thanks for asking me on.
No. And I think you are the first coach in the pure sense of the world. You know, when people think about the word coach, they're probably thinking about sports. They're probably thinking about being in the football or the hockey team at school. What brings you to coaching then? What's your backstory?
From a very early age, coaching was part of my life. I remember going way back in when I was 8 years of age, my dad filming me in the garden. I was playing football and I was actually then playing up to the video, if you like, and advising people on how to do football tricks. So from a very, very early age, 7, 8 years of age, that sort of helping people and wanting other people to achieve and using my knowledge and expertise to help people do that was sort of ingrained right from the start. I've always been fascinated with coaching, whether that being in sports coaching or executive and business coach. And so that's where really going through my international athlete career, I was always fascinated by the coach-athlete relationship, fascinated about how coaches operate, fascinated about how coaches can get the best out of and help influence athletes, help influence people to be the best they can be. And that's why I got into coaching at a very early age, short international playing career. And then coaching was my thing. Coaching was my sort of journey, my passion. And so I got into sports coaching. I studied sports coaching at university. I had a range of sort of coaching positions within sports and ultimately into my role that I'm in now, which is a head coach of British Para Table Tennis. So I sort of head up the world-class program, coaching program, and I've been the head coach since 2009. So very shortly going on the plane for Tokyo, fingers crossed for that one. But also the exec and business coaching has been something that I've been really fortunate to get involved in. Barefoot coaching was a fantastic learning experience for me. It was sort of advised for me to go on that program to improve ultimately my leadership skills, because for me, coaching is leadership and leadership is coaching. And I think the future of leadership is around having a real robust and whole person centered approach to coaching, getting the best out of people and getting the best out of high performance teams. I think any leader really needs to have that coaching approach. So that was ultimately my reasoning and rationale for going into that world of coaching and to draw on the parallels and the transitions from high performance sport and business coaching is really fresh. And ultimately I really like working with people from now a lot of different backgrounds, industries, and can help them achieve their goals and get the best out of their leadership philosophies. So I have as you said, Dom, I've had a very fortunate career in sport so far within coaching, but there's so many parallels and transitions between that coaching sense and the one within business coaching. And here I am today talking about, well, coaching and business coaching and sports coaching all into one. So it's great.
I love that. And it feels like we've almost come from polar opposite worlds, right? I've been in business for 20 odd years, left university, ended up working for companies. And very recently, as part of being on Barefoot actually and needing volunteer clients, somebody approached me and said, look, would you give this young guy, he's 19, just become a pro golfer, would you coach him? And I remember thinking, well, actually, the first thing I thought was, no, I can't do that. You know, I'm an amateur golfer at best. I went round in 100 yesterday, you know. What possibly could I do? But it was interesting. And I allow myself to go, well, let's just explore this, but be really open with the young lad. You know, I'm a coach. I come from a business background. But what's been really interesting to me, Greg, and maybe you can think about and talk about it from the other side around, is there were real opportunities just to sit with this guy and listen and understand what drives you, what motivates you, who are your heroes, what do you really want, and how has this kind of pressure that's been applied now because you've turned pro, what does that mean? What does that mean to you now? How did you find that sort of transition from being in a world that you knew and that you're part of and then having to help coach people in a world that perhaps you had, you know, very little experience in?
I actually found the transition, I wouldn't say easy and I wouldn't say hard, but actually my coaching approach in sports coaching over the last sort of 10 years has been very much what we know from a personal and business coaching point of view. It's understanding person's motives, their values, their beliefs. How does that hinder or help them in their day-to-day activities? What are they assuming day-to-day? What are the self-limiting beliefs versus empowering beliefs? So I think, you know, that can really help with performance in the world of sport by getting to know the individual inside out. They understand you inside out, you understand them, so you understand how they're going to operate under pressure and under stress, so you can have the right conversations at the right time in a world championships or a Paralympic Games when the stress and expectation is really high, and you can see how an athlete is operating. You can dive into their thinking, help them rationalize their thinking, help them get the best out of the decisions that they make when they're under pressure. So that type of coaching has been where I've got some of my best wins, if you like, or best relationships with athletes. Because of course, in sports coaching, there is still a lot of, I mean, you just mentioned there about how do I help a golfer? And of course, sports coaches have a lot of technical knowledge. They have a lot of tactical knowledge, of course, about the sport. And there's a lot of expertise there and knowledge. For me, what makes the coaching extra special is really getting to know the individual and what sits underneath the technical and tactical knowledge. How are you building and enhancing relationships? How do you know how you're, how are you having conversations with your athlete when they're at the toughest part of their career? They are trying to achieve an Olympic or Paralympic medal. And those conversations for you are the difference between good coaches and great coaches in the moment. And when I transitioned into business coaching, actually, it was quite a nice transition, because ultimately now I work with clients who are trying to get the best out of their leadership style, their philosophy. They're trying to get the best out of their teams in terms of their leadership approach. And so I'm asking similar questions to them as I would do athletes who are trying to get the best out of their performances, or they're trying to get the best out of how they operate within their performance support team. So how do they get the best out of a physiotherapist? How do they get the best out of a strength and conditioning coach? How do they get the best out of a coaching team around them, this support team? So the transitions are quite fluid, actually. And so, of course, what's quite interesting is that some of the people that I work with, and I'm sure coaches in the business and exec coaching will relate to this. I'm working with individuals and teams that I don't really know about their business. You know, I wouldn't be able to go in and give them any advice on the business, but of course I can ask some really curious questions that are going to help unlock some thinking for them, unlock their potential, get them to look at themselves and challenge how they are operating within their sort of leadership style. And so that's what I can bring over within from the world of sport, because when you work with athletes that are multi-medalists or who have won European or world championships, that they don't want to be told what to do day to day. They know their performances inside out, but what they're wanting is to be challenged. They want their thinking to be challenged. They want their methods to be challenged. They want to be asked really good open style questions. So because they're the ones that are sort of driving the bus, they're driving the car, it's their journey. But I'm there to nudge them, to nurture them, to ask the questions that maybe they're not asking themselves. And so I use that skill and transition then into the world of working with business leaders and corporate leaders who are trying to achieve fantastic results, and the same as athletes are trying to achieve incredible results on the world stage.
I want to ask a little bit about, I guess, the resilience, and, you know, it's come into the spotlight, I guess, recently, both in tennis championships, but also in the Olympics, where athletes and high performing sports people are going, I recognize my well-being is at risk here. You know, I'm aware now, I'm self-aware enough to start to spot the signals or a trigger. I'm not well enough to perform at my best. And I'm actually going to call it out now in a way that maybe, I don't know, even a year, 2 years ago might not have been the case. Do you see that as being a positive thing? Is that something that's now people feel empowered to do that? Or is it that things are becoming more acute, that there really is something else going on there?
I think it's the forward thinking and the way forward for leadership and sport, to be honest. So I like to call it to see well-being as a performance advantage. And I think you're absolutely right, Dom. In the past, it was seen as a sort of nice to have, where now it is seen as an absolute need to have. You know, how we look after ourselves you know, we all have a certain headspace or a certain battery that, you know, we've got to be careful we don't get too full with that battery and recognize that and have time out. And whatever that is, it might be for some people that is meditation, but like it is for me on mindfulness, the people that might be reading books, going for walks, just taking time out for themselves to be able to then come back and bring the best selves to their performance environment or their work environment, rather than just keep doing. I think we need to spend more time being and actually looking at how we are operating in certain contexts and certain environments. So as much, you know, in the past, it was very much, you know, you go harder. They're the ones that were true resilience, and we just keep going. And of course, you know, when you look at resilience, and for me, resilience is having a setback, going through a period of change, going through a period where you may not have had the results that you've wanted to achieve, but you reflect, you come back, you understand, you learn from that situation. And then you try to learn from it and then put some things in place so necessarily it doesn't happen again. But sometimes learning from it can also be looked at as, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm not operating at such a level that I'm going to have burnout, I'm going to have stress? And I think that's the same for athletes. It's the same for sports coaches in the world I work in, but it's also the same for business and executive coaches, because we work day in, day out, especially people that are self-employed, have their own coaching practices, and they're working with X amount of clients per day. There's only so much we can give. You know, how much time are you giving for yourself to bring the best version of yourself to the clients? Because all our clients deserve the best version of us, as do my athletes deserve the best version of me. So in order to give my best self, I need to be factoring in breaks in my day, factoring in where I'm going to be at my best, factoring where I need to take some time out, give myself some breathing space. And it's the same for our athletes. If our athletes overtrain, if they push too hard at certain times of the year, they're not going to have the performance levels that they want to at major competitions. So they need to, my job is to actually be able to give them time off, be able to pull them back, be able to give them less training at certain times, rather than just giving more and more and more. And so when you're seeing some of these statements or people speaking out about it, I think it's absolutely fantastic to see that, because for too long, people have just bottled it inside. And we just thought that we need to keep going harder, keep pushing. But actually now, well-being is a significant part of everything that we do. And I think everything that the future leadership do. We have self-care plans in the work that we work at. So what gets us operating at our best level and our optimum level? What do we need to do that? What support around us do we need? Who are our sort of buddies when I go away? So I'll go away in Tokyo in a week's time. And who do I have those open conversations with and really embrace that vulnerability within the team? So who's my buddy? How do we operate as a support team when we're out there? And that's all come through seeing well-being and as a real key advantage, rather than just keep pushing and keep doing. So I think it's prevalent, it's relevant to society today. And I think it will continue to be this way.
You mentioned Tokyo, you're off there shortly. Just before we came on air, we were talking about, you know, when you're watching the Olympics, you're looking at the venues and going, we're going to be there in a couple of weeks' time. Must be really exciting. You know, obviously it's come around late. Thankfully, it's managed to happen. What's your hopes for the next few weeks? And you know, what are you looking forward to? What's the bit? Because I guess, like all these things, there's a danger, isn't it? That you build up to the climax and then it can be anticlimactic. But what's the bit that really gives you energy through the tournament?
That's really quite interesting. We've just had a conversation with our athletes and staff around making sure that this opportunity doesn't go so fast that before you know it, you're back on your couch at home and you don't know where that time's gone, because that's how it can feel. It felt like that for my first games in Beijing. Some of the athletes shared their views on that as well, with their first games, some of them being London, some of them was Rio 5 years ago. And because you get caught up in the moment and you know, there's so much going on. There's so much, you know, it's very exciting, but then all within a blink of an eye, it's gone. And what we've said and agreed to is we just want to enjoy this moment more than ever. You know, it's been 5 years since the last games. Everyone's been waiting for Tokyo. They've gone through significant challenges with the last 18 months, obviously with COVID, training at home. Will we ever train again? Is Tokyo going on? Is it not? People have had athletes having to delay, you know, potentially starting families. Delay, you know, going off into different career transitions because they want to do their best in Tokyo. So everything's had to be delayed by 12 months. So we are just really looking forward to enjoying the moment, no matter what happens, seeing it as a great opportunity to represent our country again, be part of that build up, part of that preparation, and stay present. You know, something that we talk about a lot is staying present, being present in the moment, let's not think of too much of the future or dwell on the past of what's happened. Let's just be present of the here and now and really enjoy being in that sort of environment where something means so much. We quite often say to our guys that to be in a position where your work means so much to you and you would do everything to go to a games and deliver your best performances is a great situation to be in, specifically coming out of COVID. So that is a little bit like pressure is a privilege, if you like, and that sort of environment is we're really looking forward to just going there and enjoying what we can do. And of course, whatever happens, we are just so fortunate to go and do the thing that we love is the message that we are trying to put across to our athletes and staff.
Well, listen, Greg, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Coach Class. All I know is that when you get back from Tokyo, you're going to have to change your LinkedIn from 60 major medals to far more. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Thank you so much for giving up the time. I really, really appreciate it. And best of luck in Tokyo.
Thanks, Dom, very much again for inviting me on. And I hope we do change that 60 number, but fingers crossed.